This is Steve Hurley, and welcome to the Pivotal Outdoors Podcast, discussing hunting, fishing, and outdoor pursuits, swapping stories and feeling alive.
Yeah, so today I just want to introduce Justin Lambert to the Pivotal Outdoors Podcast. Justin, welcome.
Appreciate you having me, buddy.
Yeah, I'm super excited we could record this and talk about the Alabama trip where I came down and visited you.
Shoot, yeah.
I guess a little background for people listening. Lambo, Justin Lambert, I just call him Lambo. We were in the same platoon together back in the Marines. He was our training cadre when I got there, and I was, you know, just a new jack learning how to ride the boats and, you know, do some patrolling. And then we kind of caught up over Facebook and talk about hunting and stuff. And he mentioned, oh, you should come down and hunt the Alabama January rut. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, my wife approved it. So I was like, yeah, sure. Approved hunt. Go down, visit Lambo. It sounds great. So Lambo, why don't you kind of just give us a background on yourself, kind of like your interests and your background just with the outdoors in general?
Well, I've been hunting, I guess, really since I was in diapers. First time I went hunting with my dad, I was probably 3 or 4. First successful hunt was a turkey hunt when I was 5. Killed my first deer at 8. Turkey, deer, fishing. Been doing that as long as I can remember.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Turkey at 5, that's nuts. I mean, you know, here in PA, a lot of people, they got to wait till like they're 12 or something. There's certain cases where you can go like with a parent or something, but most people, right, they just go at 12 and they get their hunter safety, and then that's almost like the start of their hunting career besides just tagging along. So man, that's awesome. That's like it's a lifetime of hunting right there.
It really is. I think I started hunting myself when I was about 11 or 12. That was when dad started letting me set in the stand by myself and him go somewhere else.
Oh, wow. So
it's been a lifetime.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. So yeah, just to explain to some of the listeners, if they're wondering what the rut is, it's essentially like the breeding season. And go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was just going to agree with you. Yeah, that's the breeding season. That's when the does are coming in and the bucks are kind of getting a little bit stupid and slipping up a little more.
Yeah, they have like basically one thing on their mind and they're out cruising and chasing, and you see a lot of activity within the bucks. So for hunters, it's an exciting time. Sometimes it's hard to kind of plan it out because they're off their normal schedules, but if you can find the does, you know, there's probably some buck lurking around or traveling from another property trying to find them.
Yep.
And so I guess the, how the rut is triggered is, I guess, from the photo period. Once the daylight start getting shorter, does start coming into estrus. And that kind of mm-hmm. kicks off the rut. And for PA, it's typically, I mean, I don't want to put a locked date to date on it, but it's typically the first 2 weeks of November, at least where I'm at. And we see some chasing at the very end of October, but essentially after November, it really dies down, at least in PA. I don't know if you want to kind of go in and explain how Alabama's different and kind of like really unique, I would say, across the US.
Yeah, I'd say our area is very unique for the rut. You know, it's like I said, it's by the length of the day, and also in there, it's the genetics of the deer from certain areas trigger at a certain time for their rut. And in our area, we've got basically three areas that were restocked in like the 1920s to the 1960s with deer from different areas. And so our first rut in this area comes in mid-November into early December, and those deer were stocked from, I want to say, Wisconsin in that area. Those are Wisconsin deer. And they come in, like I said, mid-November, early December is kind of when that trickles off. Then the other area was restocked with deer from Michigan. And that rut goes from mid-December to like mid-January. the area right here where we live, the closest area to us, they were restocked with deer from South Alabama because we're in the northwest corner of Alabama. And the deer from South Alabama rut from mid-January into February. So we essentially get a 120-day season, roughly, with the majority of it being able to hunt the rut with less than an hour driving from where we're at.
I mean, that's pretty awesome. I even saw that they even have a state rut map that they put out. I saw one, at least for this year, 2021, and I'm sure there's from previous years, where they even show certain regions in the state where they're hitting their peak rut.
Yeah.
I was wondering, have you ever like used that or referenced that at all? Or, I mean, you guys kind of know just from year to year.
Yeah, we know it. If I was hunting, if I was coming in like you did from out of state, I'd definitely reference that map because you're going to hit pockets where you may think you're hunting the rut and those deer post rut. Actually, some of those deer in the area that comes in the earliest, you can hunt that toward the end of the season, and the bucks, some of the bucks have already started dropping their antlers. You know, living here, we know, you know, we've known it for my whole life. So we just, we bounce around at times and, you know, the that first one that comes in November, you know, that's a, that makes for a good opening weekend to be able to go hunt opening week of rifle season during the rut.
Yeah, which sounds awesome because for us, for PA, we can use a rifle basically after Thanksgiving. And, yeah. You know, at that time, it's like the end of November, beginning of December. And that's kind of, I guess they're doing that just to, PA's got a lot of hunters and maybe they're trying to grow the herd. So they don't want everyone out there with a rifle during our, you know, our 2 week sprint, you know?
Oh, yeah, I definitely know. Yeah, so our rifle season goes from like November 21st up until February 10th. And then we've got a, you know, a month of bow season before that. But we've got a long season and a lot of it rifle season. The majority of it is. And we can kill a doe a day. So if somebody wanted to, I don't know why you would. They could kill 100 and something does, but they can have that.
Maybe a farmer, like landowner issues, right?
I know some people that try.
Yeah, the cool thing is there's great opportunity to hunt in Alabama. And I wasn't even thinking of this until you reached out to me. You can get 3 bucks a season.
Yeah.
Like I bought a 3-day license, which is really cool because a lot of out-of-state licenses, it's, you know, it's for the whole season and they can get really pricey. A lot of times it's double or triple. And So for this, a 3-day was a hunt turned out to be, I wrote it down, $146. If you're like on the border or close by or get a cabin in Alabama, I mean, you could travel around Alabama and still hunt the rut. And if you get $3 out of it, that's huge. You know, I mean, it's kind of worth it. I mean, I went for 3 days. I had the potential to shoot $3 if I saw it.
Right.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's a really cool state that I wasn't really tracking on too much. Until talking with you.
Yeah. And I was glad you came out. And with that, you know, if you wanted to spend the extra $18, which is not much at all, you know, which you could hunt the management areas. And that's, you know, one right here where we're at, 35,000 acres. The others are bigger than that. And they're all, you know, within driving distance. So that opens up a lot of hunting.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, that type of acreage is, that's hard to find a lot of places, you know, unless you really go out west or something. But all together, that's great. You can really get deep and get away from some people, you know, and have some, find some really good spots.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And like that, you know, you could come from out of state and not have to know anybody in the area. You know, for $18, you can hunt all 3 ruts.
So you're saying for that acreage, even though it's all, Is that all continuous, or is that like in 3 spots?
No, there's different management areas all over the state, and that $18 covers all the management areas, but just the one here where I live is 35,000 acres.
Oh, okay. So that's good. That's good to know too. Instead of people thinking they can only hunt one management area, you know, like a unit or something. So that's good. It covers all of them.
Yeah. So that's a pretty cheap hunting club fee right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I guess, you know, it's kind of like a long weekend. I came down and I guess day one, we went out early in the morning, met your dad, real nice. Your nephew, right?
My nephew, Eli.
Yeah. So he was out and, you know, they were posting up. We rode out. You hooked me up in a nice shoot house overlooking a power, like a power line cut. There's like a field there, you know, right along this, this timber edge. And I was basically just watching anything coming out or traveling. Saw three doe that morning and a spike. The spike was one side. So I was just calling it a unicorn.
Yeah.
Which to me, that's great. Just seeing deer, period. So.
Oh yeah. It's always good to see them when you go.
Yeah. So I remember, you know, we were rolling back at the end of the day cause it was dark. And like you and your dad, you're like, oh man, you really didn't see any bucks. And I was like, no, but I was stoked just to be like, well, deer are out there. They're moving. Like, cause I've done many a day where I just sat and haven't seen a thing for days on end. So.
Oh yeah. I've definitely had my fair share of those days. Had one of those days when you were here, but yeah, that Stanley put you in. We don't have many of those days out of it.
Yeah. And then after, I guess that was Friday. And then that night we went to a local basketball game for your son, which was really cool.
Shoot. Yeah. I appreciated you going.
Oh yeah. No, I thought it was really cool just to, you know, instead of just sitting in the woods the whole time to kind of get a feel for the area and the town and, you know, meet your family and catch up. So I thought it was all really cool. And some of your friends and stuff, and it's got a nice small town feel. Some people might think super small town feel.
Yeah, I don't have any red lights, so I'd say it's pretty small.
Yeah. So had a good night, got some food, went to bed. Saturday, kind of went out to the same spot, same setup. Yeah, so a buck pop out, probably 100 to 120 yards-ish. I ranged it from the shoot house. I was ranging all like the different paths and like the width of the field and just to get an idea of how far, what I should be holding as I go out. So the field was far edge of the field that I was looking at, or at least to the pole, that was like 200 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess around 100 yards was like where the field started. And basically there's a, you could drive down it, but it's just a little wider than a truck, really. And so I was like, okay, as long as it's in the field, 200, you know, I sighted in at 100 before I came down. But I figured, you know, I can basically hold on, and if it drops 2-3 inches and I'm holding center, I should still be good to go.
Yeah.
I saw a buck pop out. It stepped out, but it was right at that 100-120 yard mark. And it wasn't quite in the field. It stepped right out basically in the dirt road area. Not a road. I want to say not a road first, because people are going to listen to this and think I'm shooting down a road. No, it's a pathway to move your truck if you're going around a property. Sorry. Before anyone accuses me of road hunting.
not a public highway.
No. And so this thing stepped out and I could just see the head, and I saw the one side, and it looked like it had like just the one antler or just a spike. I was like, oh, I think that's the one I saw yesterday. And then it took one other step out, and then it looked up at the box blind, like up the hill. And I could see the one side had at least four on one side. And it was, for me, I thought it was decent and high. I'm like, okay, well, heck yeah. I'll send it, you know? So
yeah.
I get in the scope, and I mean, this happens in a matter of seconds. And of course I'm amped up. So I'm sure it, you know, it seems faster or slower or whatever, but it turns, looks up the hill. I get in the scope, he turns, takes a step. And when I fire, like my sight picture, once it goes off, the crosshairs are right behind the shoulder. And usually I'd be holding behind the shoulder, midline of the body. And so after I shot, I kind of felt like I was a little low, but still like basically a heart shot, like right on the heart. And at 100 or at 100, 110, I'm like, okay, hey, that's on the crosshair, you know, like got him. So as soon as I pulled the trigger, he kind of caved his chest and kind of hunched, not like his stomach, but his chest, and his front right hoof kind of like retracted up. And I could see there was blood behind the shoulder. And not, yeah. And I'm not talking like, it didn't seem like leg. It didn't seem like the elbow. I mean, it was like high in the shoulder and I could see red just for a second. Cause as soon as I shot that, he kind of did like a stumble like into the brush, like a one step and then crash into the brush. So I'm all amped up. I'm like, yeah, okay. This thing he's done. He's, there's no question. I didn't shoot him far back. Like I saw red. I saw him cave. I felt great about the shot. You know, I kind of packed up. I had my snacks, my honey buns and everything in there. I'm like, all right, packing everything up, you know, taking my time, you know, get out. I'm like slowly walking down. I'm not rushing anything. Probably like 15, 20 minutes went by and I'm like, yeah, that's, he's laying right there. He's got to be in the brush. So I get down there and take a look and I'm like, okay, here's some blood. And I kind of follow it into the brush and I walk into the brush probably 5-10 yards. And it's not a lot of blood, but it's red. It's not definitely not a gut shot and it's not chips of bone with no blood, but it is very little blood. Probably 15-20 yards in, he jumps up and runs probably 40-50 yards, at least from what I heard. And so I immediately just backed out, gave you a call, and I'm like, oh crap. I just bumped this guy, you know, but I'm thinking, you know, I figured I hit him square in the heart. So I'm like, he's not going to run far. I don't want to bump him again. So I gave you a call, went back, hung out in the shoot house, racked my brain, whether it was a good shot, a bad shot, you know,
second guess everything that's happened.
Yeah. Second guess everything. And then changed my mind that it wasn't a good shot. And then think about it for a while and be like, no, that was an awesome shot. I wouldn't change anything. You know, like I start getting on my phone. I'm like, wait a second. So what is this? Like triple check-in types of tracks and blood. And I'm like, man, this is what he did. He hunched. What does that mean? But I hit him in the front, not the gut, you know? So I'm just run through every scenario. You got out there. So, I mean, he probably had about 2 hours from when I just bumped him. So I'm like, okay, if he got hit, I mean, if he got in the heart, he would have been done. But I was like, all right, well, if I hit him in the lungs, maybe, you know, it didn't sound like he ran forever. It sounded like he kind of got up and shuffled along. So I'm like, you know what? If I hit him in the lungs, he should be dead by now. Definitely with 2 hours. So you came down, we went doing the forensics again. Now that kind of calmed down and kind of get your view, which is great because you're tracking like a hound dog and you had like a more of an objective view than I did because I'm amped up and I'm thinking it's a guarantee.
Yeah.
And the blood was kind of, I mean, it was red. It was definitely like fire engine red, but it wasn't pink and frothy like a lung shot. It wasn't green like guts or anything like that. And we did see like a bunch of white hair, which is not a good sign because, you know, white hair is on the underside. So it's like, okay, well, there is some blood. And, man, we combed that whole area like very well, I think.
Oh, definitely. We definitely searched it pretty good. And that's a some rough searching.
Yeah. And I was marking it, and it looked like it just went a beeline. The blood we did find looked like it went a beeline directly away from the field. Through the brush. It's not like it didn't seem like he zigzagged, but even following just the blood and where it stopped, we went down every trail, every little break in the brush, went to the fence line with the property. I even went up 200 some yards away up to the top of the hill in case he circled back around and just didn't come up with anything. So it was kind of, I was disappointed about that. Not just losing a deer, but also I don't want to come down and, you know, you're letting me hunt where you hunt and I'm wounding deer and stuff. So that kind of, that stinks. But I do have confidence that I must have just grazed it like right at the armpit, essentially, you know? Because if I did touch the heart, that thing would have been dead. So I'm sure it's out there still running around.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee it's still out there running around. I mean, we've got some out there with three legs. You ain't the only one that's ever done that.
Yeah.
None of us here thought anything less about it. We've all we've all been there. We've all made a bad shot and thought it was better than it was. And you get out there, you trail as long as you can. And some days that's just how it ends up. Like I told you, the first day I ever stepped on that property, we were going to check it out to see if we wanted to lease it. And me and my dad jumped a big buck. I squeezed off a shot on that same power line and jumped straight up, landed on its back and took off. I thought, oh yeah, it's right inside the wood line. We're going to go down here where I shot it at, look over and see it laying there. And we found one drop of blood and one piece of leg bone.
Oh man. And so you would think if it jumps straight up, it's like, go ahead.
Oh no. I would say, yeah, you would have thought the way that deer jumped, I thought, yeah, he's hit good. That's heart. That's lungs. This deer's not, he's not making it far. He's not living long.
But that's hunting, I guess, you know, no guarantees.
Oh yeah. There's none. I mean, I don't know anybody that's hunted long enough that hadn't let one get away.
Yeah. Yep. And then, so after we kind of, you know, tracked it and we combed that whole area, our scent was everywhere. We probably, you know, anything bedded in there, we blew it out. It's not going to be there. It's not probably not going to come out to that field that evening because they're somewhere way else. So we kind of moved locations after that, sat and waited till dark, and I didn't see anything. I think you didn't see anything, did you? Or did you see a doe?
No, I didn't see anything that evening.
So yeah, head back. So Saturday night, we went to visit your family at your grandparents' place, which was pretty cool. I enjoyed just sitting around the table, just talking and joking around and talking about what's happening in the world and TV and everything.
A little bit of everything under the sun that night.
Yeah. And then ordered takeout. The takeout was great from Picante's. Got to cross over the line into Iuka, Mississippi. First time I've ever been to Mississippi.
Another big city.
Yeah. And essentially, I guess, even though it was at night, I think you gave me the whole tour of the town, I think, right? I mean, we saw the Walmart. Not the Super Walmart, just the Walmart.
Just the regular Walmart. I think, yeah, we hit both main streets.
Yeah. And it's all where the airport would have been, because I was looking for flights into Iuka and then driving into Alabama. But I think they were not as many flights as you would think going into Iuka.
Yeah, I was surprised it was even listed.
Yeah. Got to eat some cactus for the first time. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
authentic sweet tea. I know you guys were saying it wasn't as sweet as you normally have it, but it was sweet.
For an outsider.
For an outsider, it was probably pretty good.
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. Then we headed over to your parents' place, and, you know, your dad, I mean, I'm assuming just like he's been hunting his whole life, he's quite the outdoorsman, and just checking out some of his mounts, I mean, this year were just awesome. I've never seen deer like that in the woods, ever, even like not hunting, just never seen deer like that.
Yeah, and, you know, you don't kill deer like that every year. He's done it a long time, and he's got some good ones, a lot of good stories. I shared a lot of good hunts with him.
Yeah. Oh, and that was one of the things I really thought was cool was when your mom came back and she was pulling out, it's like a local hunting yearbook, you could kind of say, or like a photo album.
Yeah, basically. It's a brag book, a local brag book is what I call it.
Yeah, which I thought was awesome. And it was cool seeing like a bunch of the locals, what they've been getting either over the years or that year. And I mean, there's some really awesome bucks in there, but then you guys had photo albums of turkeys, doubling up, which is like so cool.
Oh yeah. 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 I know the one story we were telling you about with the pictures is, I think I was in eighth grade that year, and me and my dad doubled up that morning, right off the roof, birds pitched down right in front of us. We double up. I still had time. I went and got on the school bus. My dad took his brother and one of their friends and got them to double up. So our group had killed four turkeys before 10 o'clock that morning.
That's crazy. I would think
that's
on the way to
school.
Yeah. I would think on the way to school, I'd just be thinking about getting home because I just shot a turkey. You know, it's like,
yeah. Well, that was the bad part is I usually skip school the opening day of turkey season. I've done that every year. And that year, got it done so fast, I still had to go.
Oh, man. And for you guys, for turkey, is that like four a season or what is the?
Five a season.
Five a season.
Yeah, five a season.
And that's pretty nice.
Oh, yeah. I've never tagged out. My dad's tagged out a few times, but we mainly hunt public land, and that gets pretty competitive, so.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Especially when calling is like a – so you're talking spring or you do a fall turkey hunt too?
We just have spring turkey season. That's all we have in our area.
Okay.
We basically got the month of April. You know, when I was growing up, it was just started on April 1st and went through the month of April. But now it starts the weekend before April and closes the weekend after April's over. It varies a few days in there from the original 30, but – get a few extra days to hunt.
Yeah. Ours is later than most states. I think there's a lot of places in the South where April is like the turkey season. For us, it's like essentially May 1st to May 31st. And for the first 2 weeks, the first half, you can hunt until noon, but you can't hunt after noon. And then the last 2 weeks, you can hunt all day. And then we also have, not in my area, but other places in the state, they have a fall turkey hunt, which I guess a lot of times they're really flocked up. And I guess people essentially break up the flock and then they try to either just spot them or try to call them in because they're trying to find their flock. But even that in the fall, I mean, you could use a rifle in PA on a turkey. And to me, I'm like, a rifle? I'm like, man, I would just think you just blow that thing apart.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that. Yeah, it's all shotgun here. I couldn't imagine turkey hunting with a rifle. That don't even seem right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you like ruin the breast and everything. But the
shots only.
Yeah, and then most people just do the spring turkey hunt, which that's just shotgun. And you're not allowed to stalk. It's basically you sit and you call. For us, you don't need to wear orange for turkey season, and I guess a lot of accidents happen that way. You know, you got a lot of people in the woods on public land and people are getting itchy trigger fingers and they're hearing yelps and clucks and we're like, I think he's right there. So
shooting at sounds and not sights.
Yeah. Which sounds crazy, but I mean, it happens. They actually show a video for the hunter safety course. You got to do like, it's like a 2 day for us. It's a 2 day in-person thing. Actually, I think now you could do it online,
yeah.
But when I did it, it's like, you went to some sportsman's club, sat there and took your course, but they would always show a video of someone getting shot in turkey season, like a theatrical version, not like a live
footage. Right, one of those like 80s safety training videos. Yeah,
where it's like this guy has a fan in his hand for some reason, you know, and he's like stepping out of the brush and it's like the shot goes off and it's like him frozen, like not moving, and it's like, don't be a victim in the woods, you know, like it's like, oh crap, like,
yeah,
don't,
yeah.
Don't mess around in turkey seasons.
Yeah. Shoot, I don't know if I could turkey hunt like that. We run and gun on our turkey hunting.
Well, I don't think
we sit in one spot more than
we people walk around, say they walk the dirt roads of game lands, and they'll yelp or they'll try to get like a shock gobble. And then once they get that, then they're like, okay, I'm gonna move up here. And then post up, you know, like sit down and then try to call in from there. So it's not like you're locked into your stand in the woods. So people do just walk around and, you know, throw some yelps and see what happens.
Right.
They just really want people to be careful because that's like the number, at least for PA, that's like how people get injured. That and falling out of tree stands. So.
Yeah, that's the same here. You hear about people falling out of tree stands all the time, or not all the time, but more than you should. I wear my harness, but and I had a friend when we were in school. He got shot turkey hunting.
Really?
Yeah,
was he fine? Was he just peppered, or was he like really jacked up?
He was just peppered, but it's still to this day he's got turkey load in his neck and head.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, so
that's
yeah,
not even like you got shot in the leg. I mean, neck and head and upper torso. That's not cool. That's a bad day.
Yeah, definitely. And he was 12 when it happened.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he was hunting with his granddad, and another hunter shot at the call. You know, heard a turkey, thought it was a heard a turkey and thought a turkey was in a bush and shot at it, which that goes back to me personally. You know, if you're shooting a gun, not knowing what you're shooting at, you probably don't need to be in the woods.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
you don't shoot at movement.
Yeah, no. You definitely want to see a turkey and kind of know what's around it too. You know, you don't like, I have a few decoys that I mess around with. A lot of times if I'm in public, I mostly just call. I don't like pull them out that much. I got like the folding decoys, you know?
Right.
And I have like one like really nice hen, because they can get kind of pricey. So I have like one good hen and then two fold up hens and a Jake, and I have a big Tom, but mostly that just stays at home and my kids play with it. They just call it Turkey Tom. They have it at the kitchen table. We bake cakes for Tom's birthday and stuff like that. So it's like Tom and my daughter, the nice hen decoy, she calls it Henny Retta. So they're like our fake pet turkeys.
That's awesome.
But like any of like the redhead on a Jake and stuff, I hide that in the bag. I'm like, I don't want to be walking around.
I'm the same way. I've got some decoys and I don't use them on the public land. If I do, I only use a hen decoy.
Yeah.
But I don't bring any of the gobbler decoys out on the public land.
No.
I'm too worried.
Yeah. Now where we were hunting, being an area where you guys kind of leased, do you guys get turkeys on there a lot? I mean, you got some nice like fields where they could strut and stuff.
Yeah, that area right there that we hunted, that we leased, doesn't have any turkeys on it.
Okay.
But another spot we leased a couple hundred acres, probably 15 minutes away from that spot, and we always kill birds on it.
Wow.
And I mean, that spot we hunted would be, you know, a great spot. I can't believe there's not turkeys on it, but they're not there. But you know, there's row crop fields that join it on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm talking about big soybean fields, corn fields, you know, prime turkey habitat. Like, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear it. Yeah, I can hear you. It was a little spotty, but okay. I got you.
Okay.
Now.
Cornfields, soybean fields, some big pines, some hardwoods. Everything you think a turkey would be in.
And probably some probably some ridges, I'm assuming. Something they can fly like off the roost and everything. At least some topography, right? Or no?
Yeah. There's two pretty good hardwood ridges.
Nice.
And you would think that spot would be covered in turkey. And the other spot is pretty much all hardwoods with a little bit of cutover. And that's where we got them.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's nice. For me, it's like where I'm at, it's kind of spotty at least. I mean, I know there's people that go out and get turkeys every year in PA. But for me, it's like, oh, I've seen them here 2 years in a row. And then all of a sudden, don't see them for 4 years. But then they popped up in someone's yard.
Yeah.
10 minutes away, and they're like, oh yeah, they come here every year. And then they don't for a year or two. And then, you know, they come back and it's, you know, they kind of, at least the areas I go, I haven't seen a consistency of finding them. I'm sure they're out there. Maybe I'm just not finding them. So,
oh yeah, they're probably out there. I know ours is pretty consistent. Some of the spots we hunt are spots that my dad was hunting before I even started going, you know. He's been killing turkey on it for probably 25, 30 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was crazy, turkeys, but then also the deer, like all those mounts and Euro mounts and sheds and everything. Like I was asking your dad, like, are these all within like 5 miles of here? And he's like, yeah, pretty much all of them are. I'm like, wow, that's awesome that there's this quality of buck running around.
Yeah, with the majority of them being right out of his backyard right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, I think Alabama's a state that is a little bit slept on as far as quality of bucks. You know, at the one shed we were showing you had 77 inches in just the one shed.
A shed, too. So So he came back next year, you know?
Right. Yeah, he was out there after that. So
yeah.
Definitely good quality bucks. Like I said, they're all those came from just right here, right near our house. It's nice to have that kind of hunting because, you know, like me and you talked about, I get home at 3 o'clock. Well, I've got an hour and a half that I can jump in the truck and run down the road 10 minutes and I can go hunting.
Which is awesome. Which is, that's a dream, man. I would love to be able to just go out my back door.
Yeah. I think that's something that, that I took for granted for a long time. You know, growing up where my parents live, I would literally get off the school bus, grab my gun, and walk in the woods right out the back door and go hunting.
Yeah, man.
Killed my first buck after school one afternoon back there.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Yeah, anyway, so I know we're getting off on some tangents. Which is fine. Saturday, grazed that deer. Didn't see anything at night. Just playing catch up. Oh, so the next day, I guess we went out and I was like, okay, well, there's time enough to hunt the morning. And so got out there, you know, nice and early. I walked in, I guess, instead of riding the four wheeler, I guess. Yeah. Thinking like, okay, maybe I won't spook something or whatever. Sitting in the box blind, looking at the power lines. Didn't see anything for a while. And then I saw a dog run by and I'm like, okay, it's not barking too much, whatever. It's just some dog. 5 minutes later, another dog runs by. I'm like, okay. 5 minutes later, a dog runs by and I'm like, oh, I think that's the same one. Same coloring. It must've circled around. And luckily at this time, they're not barking like crazy. You know, it's not what you want to see when you're out there, but I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's moving away. He's moving off. Something can still happen. And I'm thinking, oh, it's the rut. Anything can happen.
Trying to stay positive.
Yeah. So then I'm waiting, and then probably 10, 15 minutes later, and then four dogs run back past where I was sitting. And the dog that I thought looped around, that was the second dog that looked identical to it. So then four dogs ran by me and were cutting all through stuff, and I'm like, oh, man. Well, that kind of stinks, but nothing I can really do about it. So I'm just like, you know, and it's only, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I got 2 hours left. If I see something, I'm holding out, I'm not daydreaming or getting on my phone or anything. I'm like, hey, I'm dialed in for these last, anything that moves, I'm on it, scoping everything out. And then I think it was about the last 30 minutes. Two doe did step out in the field and I was like, okay, I'm like ranged them. They're like 130, they're broadside, they're feeding, they're not walking around a lot. I'm like, oh man. I'm like thinking, do I do it? It's like 30 minutes left. Like I'm, you know, this is it. I'm like, road to Alabama. Like, should I get a deer? This is I could punch, you know, a tag. And I remember I messaged you and I was like, do you need any doe meat? I mean, you said it wouldn't go to waste, and I know it wouldn't, but part of me, I'm like two doe. Maybe there's a chance Big Hank's going to step out following them, you know?
And you never know when it's going to happen.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I sat there and I even like just put the crosshairs on the doe and then the other one. And then as they'd move a little bit and then I kind of get reset on them again, I'm like, if I had to, I could still do it, you know, as they're moving off. I'm like, all right, 170, 200. I'm like, okay, like this is what I do, you know, but I passed on them and you came, picked me up, got out of there around 11, but Big Hank didn't step out, but that's all right. It is what it is.
Oh yeah.
Overall, man, I thought it was a great trip. I really appreciate the hospitality.
Oh, yeah. We enjoyed having you. We appreciated you coming.
Yeah. I mean, even hanging out with, I mean, your kids and Daisy and just talking whatever about Bluey or whatever, you know, just joking around.
Yeah, it was good to just hang out and catch up. But
yeah.
Even better, we got to do a little hunting in there with it.
And saw some deer.
And yeah, I got to see some.
And I got a chance to shoot at a buck, but I messed it up. So that's on me, you know?
Yeah, that one's on you there. But that's part of it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So then I drove back, caught my flight out of Nashville. I ate all the deer sticks you gave me. I ate the deer sticks at home, but your dad gave me like a good size, like summer sausage.
Yeah.
I ate that whole thing on the ride up.
Oh man. Well, we're like, glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. It had jalapeno and cheese in it. And it was, you know, and I had whatever, 2.5 hour drive. So I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to keep snacking on this.
Yeah.
I got 3 blocks of Scrapple. They're in my freezer right now. I was looking up today how I'm going to be able to send them to you. Probably dry ice it or something, but I'll definitely send you some PA flavors your way.
Shoot, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
So for you, what's next on the list? I mean, I know April's coming up, so that's turkey season. Do you have any fishing tournaments or anything coming up?
Yeah, our crappie tournaments will fire back up in February. You know, we'll get these last few days of deer season out of the way, and then we'll be back to crappie fishing.
Yeah, for me, it's March or opening day trout, but hopefully opening day is always great because you always hit your limit. But last year they had some issues with because they do stock trout in a lot of the streams. And with COVID, you know, they get volunteers where you can like drop fish along the stream, like certain buckets, and kind of spread them out.
Yeah.
But with COVID, and I think this year they're not taking volunteers. I could be wrong about that, but last year they just like backed the truck up to like one of the creeks and dumped all the fish. So like further, like, yeah. So if you go down like a mile down the stream, it's like, man, there's nothing down here. But if you got there the day after, and they didn't publish like which stream or which spot they were going to, you know, stock on what day. And once they stock it, you have to give it like 2 weeks. You're not allowed to fish for like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Some people rolled up and like, in 20 minutes caught their limit and walked away, and then they didn't stock throughout the season. So after the first like couple weeks, if you go like in May, it's like all fished out, like all our hot spots.
Oh, wow.
I was like, man, there's, you know, yeah, you catch a couple small ones back in some holes, but a lot of times it's like, man, they're all fished out.
Yeah. That's rough there. Cause I know a lot of guys that hunt like us, you know, The off season, you spend fishing to fish out the first month.
You know, I like fishing and everything, but for me, it's kind of the thing to do in between deer season and turkey season.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's the way it was for us. I think all the way up until, I don't know, just a few years ago, when we got into the crappie fishing so big that now there's times where, like last year, I never would have thought we would have done this, but we skipped the opening weekend of turkey season. Honestly, you know, we've gotten so big in the crappie fishing here in the last few years that this last turkey season, we skipped opening weekend to go fishing. And that's something that 15 years ago, I would have called you a liar if you told me I was going to do that.
That sounds almost like sacrilegious to skip opening day turkey.
It felt like it. Me and my dad, when we were fishing, there's public land in the area. And we're like, well, we should just take our shotguns with us. And if we hear something, we'll just kind of go to the bank, hunt for a little bit, and then go back to fish. We finally just cut our losses and said, we're just going to get out there and fish hard all day.
Cool, man. That's kind of all I got for the Alabama trip. And I'd love to do it again, man. Or even figure out another trip where you come up to PA, or even if we go somewhere else.
Maybe we need to do all three if we can.
I know we're turkey fans, and you've got tons of Eastern turkeys. I think it'd be cool to check out an Osceola in Florida.
It'd be a lot of different. Fun. Yeah. Well, shoot, man. We appreciate you coming down and hanging out with us, and we'll have to do it again, buddy.
Hey, thanks for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe. And if you'd like to support this podcast to sustain future episodes, feel free to click on the listener support link in the show notes. There'll be more content coming, and if there are any questions or comments, you can reach me on Instagram @OutdoorsWithSteve or @PivotalOutdoors.